listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 13th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here as always, and I'm looking forward to tonight just having a good discussion.
Looking forward to it as well. Always happy to have you joining me, and thank you to those joining us in the live broadcast chat. We always appreciate your contributions, always like seeing you. And, of course, thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archive as well. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, Dr. Vicki, looking forward to having a more open discussion. I think you'd wanted to talk a little bit about last week's guest, Dr. Rick.
Oh, Dr. Rick Telesca. Now, I did order his book. I haven't got it yet, but I am really looking forward to getting that with all the comments in the chat, people having read it, and, of course, Dr. Rick's comments about, yes, of course, it's fictionalized. For those who don't know what we're talking about and haven't listened to last week, I recommend that you do. Fascinating. Dr. Rick was talking about aliens. And, you know, what has been kind of revealed a little bit more, talking about the grays, the different kinds of grays, and we got into all kinds of areas. It was exciting. I really enjoyed it.
It was. And it was kind of a top-to-bottom discussion. You know, we talked about some of the earliest indicators of, you know, humans experiencing alien life through the potential different types of civilizations to, you know, grays, reptilians, all the different theories out there. I loved the kind of inside track, the insight kind of knowledge in regards to a lot of the military aspects of it and some of the different things that have come to light. So, and I appreciated how much Dr. Rick tried to remain grounded. And I think that's very important too.
Well, and that's, you know, he speaks with such, well, he's very casual, very comfortable. And, you know, he just comes across like he knows his stuff. He's been in it for a long time. But then, of course, you know, we're talking about other interesting things about particularly his son getting a vibe about the energy is shifting with people, or, you know, how some of us have ideas that we don't know where they came from. We could be downloaded, you know, telepathy, how that works. And so it's a, and again, I want to really recommend anybody who hasn't listened to last week or you weren't here for last week, please go into the archives. And of course, archives of all our previous programs are are there and available to you. So Dr. Rick was also on the program back in January.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have him back, hopefully. Yeah. Gee, I'd have him back next week, Michael, if I could. But, you know, hopefully we can get him back, you know, on a fairly consistent basis. But I really, you know, would appreciate a couple of other folks, like Dr. Mike, coming back as well. Yeah. And, you know,
unfortunately, he's not in the live chat for us to cajole, but maybe we can get through him through the archive. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, poke him a little bit. He's, you know, if you recall, everyone, he's regularly in our chat, and he's got a direct connection to MUFON. So, you know, I really feel like this is a year of more disclosures. You know, I think that people are more willing to talk about it, more willing to entertain the idea that we're not alone in the universe, which, duh, you know, that makes perfect sense.
Definitely, and far more accepted as an idea.
And science has gone way further than any regular folks know about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, like transferring consciousness, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Like That's so Star Trek. Well, actually, it's even beyond Star Trek.
Well, singularity
that's like
stuff,
outer
yeah.
limits.
Oh, yeah. No. And, you know, just like we had talked about last week, it is also going to be a time of ever-increasing hoaxes, fakes, with the advent of AI, being able to generate images, video, and the like, with the financial incentive for engagement on social media. You know, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, the amount of views you get is going to, you know, be financially rewarding for certain people. So I, you know, it is going to be a fascinating time. There's going to be, I think, a lot coming to the forefront. I think it is a time of people being open to these new ideas. But, you know, it's just a reminder to remain grounded and to, you know, wait until all the facts are uncovered.
Well, I think people who haven't even had an interest in metaphysics are starting to, like, you know, open their eyes a little bit and put their ears on and say, what? Never thought of that before. I didn't know about that. But science, even if one just takes science alone, you know, in some of the things that are happening. One thing that Dr. Rick mentioned back in January that I would really like to talk to him further about in the future is the organic AI.
Mm.
You know, he's talking about organics, AI and organics, and that has still piqued my interest. We didn't get into it last week. Of course, we had another agenda, but that's something I'd really like to pursue.
Well, and, you know, and it makes me think about all the aspects that it has with human consciousness, with our awareness. I mean, are we not organic AI in our own way? I know that you and I have kind of talked about whether – you know, artificial life could be sentient or sentient, depending on your pronunciation these days. But I've been on the pro data side, and I think you hate data. Is that right, from Star Trek?
Well, you know, no. I mean,
you wanted to carve him up for barbs, did you?
I'm on the fence about sentience in AI. However, you know, there's a part of my brain that wants to entertain the notion that it can be, you know, self-thinking.
Mm.
And would it have a soul? Of course, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. But, you know, is AI possible, an AI, a robot, capable of having its own personality, seemingly its own consciousness? You see, I'm on the fence there, and I think there's,
well,
again, we're back to what we look at and how we translate that information versus, is that real?
Well, you know? What if it was organic AI? You know, I mean, does it, being organic, add something of substance in your mind to the possibility of a soul or true sentience?
You know, Michael, that's where I get really confused, because I think that's possible, and that's where Dr. Rick has just joined us in the chat. I'm sorry, guys. My chat, I can't type in my chat tonight for some reason. I've had a little, you know, aliens visiting my computer this evening, and I had to reboot twice to get on tonight. But that's, you know, we mentioned that before Dr. Rick signed in, is that organic AI. So if we combined organic matter machines, now it's done, if you think about it, with prosthetics, mm-hmm. you know, mechanisms attaching to the brain to, you know, give people mobilization, you know, who are paralyzed and or have lost a limb. I mean, that's all possible. So is that not AI in some form?
You know? Yeah, an element of machine intelligence there.
So I'm thinking, see, that's where my confusion runs in and what comes first. Does the organics come first and we add in mechanisms that could have its own intelligence, or are we building an intelligence and we want to add some kind of organics to create a consciousness?
Right.
What comes first?
I think awareness, you know, the awareness of surroundings and the ability to react to it and to independently gauge it. You know, I'm stealing this from Picard on Next Generation, but he... in one episode, to correlate with Data being an artificial life form, said that, you know, humans and other life forms are just biochemical machines. Yes. So it is, in my mind, more important about the level of awareness something can achieve. And also when it comes to the idea of a soul, for whatever that means to whomever, is, in my opinion, a soul has always been linked to consciousness. You need consciousness to have a soul. You know, I guess it's a chicken and the egg situation, but it is, it's always made sense to me that if even a machine intelligence can have self-awareness and can act somewhat independently, I mean, we all have our software, we have instinct, we have the way that we do things, pick up language, communicate with one another, operate in a cohesive society. I mean, this is all software, but we can also change the software. We can alter it here and there in little bits.
Well, it goes back to the theory, our Gray's robotics in some way is synthesized.
Yeah, that was a really interesting idea that was brought up too, and I hadn't really thought about that before.
So would they be independent thinkers? And again, through the human eye, mm-hmm. would they each retain their, not just their separate personalities in that way, separate nature, but would they have a consciousness, or would they all be linked? You know, I mean, look, Star Trek and the like has really expanded our, you know, our imaginations. Sure. If you're of that ilk, for sure. But are the Greys a form of replicated or cloned, you know, synthetic life form? And I mean, we don't know.
It's all speculation. You can't know.
Maybe somebody knows.
I mean, there's no answer to these questions, which is why they're the funnest to ask. You know, to me, why ask a question where there's a definitive answer? That's no fun. Let's talk about all this, all the possibilities, and that's fun.
So Dr. Rick has just typed in the chat, organic cyber intelligence, OCI, is being experimented with using DNA and genetic programming techniques. DARPA has some projects in this regard, Defense Advanced Project Agency. Okay, Dr. Rick, will you come back next week? And look, that's what I mean. It's so expansive. You know, we can go on forever. And look, we're not going to, you know, take advantage of Dr. Rick. We're really not. But
I mean, you threw it out there. So, I mean, if he says yes, you're not going to tell him no at this point, am I right?
No, if he offers, well, I'm not one to turn down a good thing. So, it's all of... This is where we go in metaphysics, and this is another reason I appreciate us being able to get together every week, is to be in this kind of community to talk about this, because there's so few people in our lives, in our daily lives, we can do that with, but to get little snips of where to go to read something, or where to go to watch a video, or where to go, you know, to get the latest of. And you know, and of course we can discern it from a grounded perspective, what, you know, is possible, what's not. Mm-hmm. But it triggers us to think beyond ourselves and understand that the universe is teeming with possibilities. And I find that really exciting. Some folks, and I think if somebody is really stuck on belief systems, this is just all foo-foo land.
Well, and, you know, I think it, regardless of the belief system, you know, I think there can be dogmatic religious belief systems. I think there can be materialist belief systems. Mm-hmm. It's anything that gives you a, you know, people derive a sense of comfort from being able to say that I know instead of I don't know. And I think that it is the secondary gains of being able to hold on to that belief system that influences so many.
And you're right. Comfort's a big word.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, if people, look, I think all of us are programmed in our culture, in our society, to mm-hmm. want that comfort, to want safety, to enjoy, you know, what life and opportunities and promises life has given to us. And of course, I say for every child born, I say, oh boy, they better come with skills because the rent is not cheap here. You know, and that's a, you know, I don't mean to be, you know, so cold and kind of, you know, critical about it, but it's, that's the kind of world we've created, this monetary structure. And so we kind of live in that world or that reality. You know, you get an education, you go to work, you come home, you buy a house, you have kids, you know, you get a dog and a cat and a nice car. And if you can step outside of that reality for a moment, be somebody like me, I drive down the street and I say, wow, there's a lot of debt driving around. You know, but again, we are, our culture continually reinforces that promise, if you do the right things will happen. If you do the right things, you will be rewarded in the right way. And I feel like in the last few years, especially for older folks, that, you know, that's being dismantled. It's kind of being...
Are you talking about karma, or if you follow society's rules, society's going to take care of you?
Society will take care of you. Like if you go to the doctor, you'll get the right pill. You know, and I'm not meaning any disrespect to anybody, but the Ozempic being the promise to lose weight. You know, I don't have to change my life. I don't have to be responsible.
Yeah.
What I eat or exercise, I just take a pill.
Do you think serious, you know, medical professionals are going to be pushing that? Do you think it's going to be more the hype, the people that like the quick fix, you know, be able to make money off that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's all about, you know, kind of playing the probabilities, right? Because... You know, when you go to the doctor, there's a lot of controversy out there these days, especially in terms of alternative medicines versus, you know, traditional medicines, Western and Eastern, et cetera. Just speaking of medicine, just a shout out to Dr. Jerry. She's come through her surgery very well and is doing well. We're so happy to hear that. So just wanted to give you a shout out while I'm thinking of it.
Awesome.
But, I think it's, you have to go with what's right in your heart. You have to follow your truth. And I think you have to be open to the fact that your truth might not be the truth at the same time. I think it takes a degree of humility. And, you know, this conversation is even going away from the thoughts I had about the notions of free will. You know, we talked about AI and can it be sentient? Well, can it have free will? I think that's a big part of it. Do we have free will? That's always been a big question. I'm on the yes side of that, but it's an interesting question.
Well, the Matrix.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you think about that. I think that what we have, and this is my overview of the planet for a moment, we've been living in a 50-year, 60-year bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of dissension on the planet. A lot of people have suffered in their own, you know, in their own places, in their own cultures, in their, you know, stresses, economics, governments, politics, so on. But we've been living in a bubble in a large regard. And I think there's a unilateral kind of understanding if you live in a developing kind of culture
mm-hmm.
that comfort, as you said, Michael, is a promise. Therefore, I don't have to think. You know, when you can just Google whatever you want to know, you don't have to have critical thinking.
And
you know, you don't have to break it down.
And for some people, their comfort with their ego, their comfort with their sense of self, you need to be uncomfortable with things as they are, to be contrarian. You have, and if that's your persona, they're going to lash out at anything. Mm-hmm. And I think, I think boredom is to blame for a lot of things, too. I think that we have a society where things can be real tough, you know, making bills and things like that. But on the other hand, we have more free time than we ever have. You know, we have less struggle. It still exists. Well, Lord, I know.
I had a lunch with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about the processing of younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say people, let's say, under 30, 35. And again, I mean no disrespect, but it's the manner in which they're thinking. And I mentioned to her that I'd seen this video where this psychologist had said, we're living in a time where young people don't have to have an imagination.
Mm.
You know, they're being entertained. They don't know how to sit still and allow their mind to wander and to imagine things.
It's a muscle like any other.
Exactly. And, of course, I come from a time which is completely different. Michael, you, of course, were raised to be more of a critical thinker. And I know a lot of you folks in the chat and those who come to IMHS are on the road for that. Like, I want to be a critical thinker. I want to know myself better. But we've got 8 billion people on the planet. How many can even afford the time to imagine and critically think when they're in a situation of survival?
Well, let's also talk about that too, because we're in a time of period where we have more humans on the planet than ever before, and by that same token, the percentage of humans in poverty is at its all-time low too. People are, and especially in developing countries, working long hours, but it has always been so. So when you look at the numbers, even worse, a century ago, there's more people that have time to think. And I think also that, I think there's something to be said for having free playtime as you're developing as a child. I think that spurs on creativity. And just to kind of go back to what we were talking about that, I think that the access to electronics, to social media, I think, and videos, YouTube, and things like that for kids, for young people, the instant access and the instant gratification, I think, and I have to say, I think, because I don't really know if there's anything that can definitively say, and I could be completely wrong, but I think it does hurt the development of that imagination muscle.
Well, it certainly changes it.
It does. It does.
The neural pathways. It changes things. I think that we're in a reality where young people are living in a world of technology, and that's their future, which is not where I came from. But, they need to have that. But at what point is the humanity in that human consciousness being tampered with, that we are becoming less imaginative, more scientific, or let's say imagination is being directed in a way that suits the agenda of, the global movement. If you're smart and clever here, you can go that way. Smart and clever here, you can go that way. But what if you're just somebody who wants to explore beyond what you're taught and what you've been instructed to believe? And it's difficult to know those boundaries. I have grandchildren. A couple of them are teenagers, and I chuckle. it's some of the things that they go through is exactly what I went through, mm-hmm. or your generation went through, Michael. That kind of doesn't change. There's an organic exploration. There's this emotional exploration. But how it's managed is quite different. We buy more into emotional distress. And again, I'm not dismissing it.
Mm-hmm.
We buy more into, mental distress. I come from a world of get over it. And you say, if you have a problem, go into therapy later. But it's the coddling of, number one, you have to be really smart in all your courses and all the academics, but we're going to coddle you when it comes to emotions and your mental well-being.
That's true in a lot of ways, but there's all – again, it's a fine line. there is real suffering, and there are people that are going through real things, and there are people that, because they see the sympathy that those people going through real things are getting, they will exaggerate or completely falsify their own, you know, difficult things to go through for sympathy and for the societal benefits. But at the same time, not to detract from anybody that is going through a hard time, I know I've been there. You know, I've had my own battles with anxiety and depression. I can tell you it was not fake for me. I didn't, and I tried to hide it from others as opposed to amplify it. But nonetheless, you know, everybody's experienced different, so a little bit strange out there.
You know, Dr. Rick just made a comment of, I see too much structured play, which doesn't allow for creativity. Mm-hmm. The children don't learn how to be self-starters.
Very true.
Whoa, that's a big one.
That reminds me when the first generation of the, you know, the children that came up with the hyper schedule, you know, the they always went to math camps. They always had scheduled activities after school. They had extracurricular. There was no free play. NASA started recruiting these new generation in, and they found that they weren't able to think creatively and think outside the box as well. I think that, and please double check me on this, but I do believe that they've incorporated things into their questionnaires, such as how much free time, you know, free play did you have as a child, and things like that, because of how important it is to creativity. And, you know, just it's a wild thing, you know, creativity and consciousness, because it doesn't stay static.
It's something I thought of very early in my life, earlier on. I have a son who's now 37. When he was 4, we would have conversations driving in the car. He was designing 2 gas tanks for a vehicle. He was like super genius. And, of course, the daycare people said, oh, you know, you should have him tested. No, I'm not testing a 4-year-old. But he gets into kindergarten, gets into grade 1. Teachers want to test him because, oh, you know, he's so brilliant. Well, I had put him into a French immersion. He hated it. So I had to take him out.
Yeah, I mean, it's French, but go on.
But he was... I did have his, you know, him tested. IQ 156 off the charts, you know, when he was in school in the second language. So right away, because it's important for money for them, they get funding. They wanted to put him into advanced classes, you know, right away, having you can do more, you can do better, you can do greater. And I took them on head on. I said, leave him alone. He just wants to be a kid. Let him play. Let him imagine. Let him go at his own pace. Because what I know about super genius kids is that they're not super genius in everything. And you're going to cause another problem that we don't yet know about. Well, that's exactly what happened. The more you expected of him, the more he wouldn't do it. You see, and then he started retaliating, and I eventually took him out of school and homeschooled him for 3 years just to get his confidence back, and lived on a farm, got him to be more imaginative, participate, and then he could ease his way back into, you know, this other reality, because they had quite damaged him no matter how I took them to task. You know, the system will have its own agenda. So there's a caution, and but one thing about it, he's quite happy to have a job and do his thing and be inventive as his side projects. Yeah. And I know other very brilliant people too say, "Nah, I'm not participating in this game."
Well, and there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody can have their own way. And you know, when it comes to agendas too, I never think of just one agenda. I think of, you know, hundreds, thousands of competing agendas by different various parties, both nefarious and well-intentioned.
Yeah.
But I do think that we need to be able to follow our own path.
I agree. And we're in a shifting world, and we have to be open-minded. And I'm continually having to remind myself to not form conclusions about what I think, because what applied in my time doesn't apply now. Mm-hmm. And what's going on now, sometimes I have to just tell people, I have no idea. I just have no idea. I understand people, but then I don't understand them at all.
Yeah, I know, right? I can empathize with that very much so.
Yeah, Dr. Jerry is saying young souls need to be coddled, unfortunately. You know, Wendy is saying how her boss told her that, she needs to coddle her employees because these are different times. And I'm thinking, I appreciate what you're all saying. Young souls. I don't know what a young soul is except human souls, young soul. I get really confused about that. They haven't been here in 1,000 years and tripping in for the first time. I don't know. Are they human-based, grounded souls that are coming in and didn't? I get really confused at getting stuck in those ideas. No offense, Dr. Jerry. I have entertained those ideas for my entire I started studying metaphysics when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with everything from witchery to you name it. I hear these things. I want to kind of grasp it, but it doesn't stick with me because I keep thinking there's more.
Well, I also think, what does it mean to coddle? I think that not addressing something that needs to be addressed is a bad thing. But I think there's also, it can also be, in my mind, I've always tried to be kind. I've always tried to be understanding, in the work setting when I've had subordinates. I've always tried to see things from different perspectives and just not be a dick. I think that can be a general rule of thumb for life. But at the same time, coddling, are we going out of our way not to discuss things that need to be discussed, like truths and things? Also, I think that the millennial generation is obviously the best. We have the right balance of everything, so I think that's a lot better. Generation Z, I'm telling you, these kids. And then Generation Alpha coming up, I don't even know them yet, but I can only tell you that because they're younger than me and still have so much more life ahead of me, I'm going to be jealous. So that's all there is to that. But
I know. It's like what I do know is, for me, and what I hope to share with others, is keep your mind open.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a grounded perspective, as above, so below. And mm-hmm. I know that's kind of a biblical term, but it does apply. If something works this way, then it must also work that way backwards. And if you approach it from this part of the circle, you better go to another point of the circle, and it has to come to the center. And if ever, you have to be willing to say, I screwed up, that doesn't work, start over.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair thing to say. I will also say that no thing, no subject, no, philosophy, nothing is true all of the time. I think we have to be open to that, too. But, it's been a great chat tonight, too.
Yeah.
We're coming up to that time for cards, so throw your name in if you'd like us to pull you one.
Dr. Rick, can't type that in the chat.
Dr. Rick had said that he'd be, willing to come back. He said, sure. And he was talking about the importance of metaphysics to redefine things in life. And my chat scrolled up, so I lost the paragraph I was reading. But looking forward to that. Dr. Edward had put in a video. He commented on a video in YouTube with the comment, "Is consciousness an illusion?" And he pointed out that maybe he's wrong, but don't you need consciousness and awareness to experience the illusion?
Mm.
I think it's a good point. Dr. Jerry has said that baby boomers are the best generation. And Wendy said Generation X, but those can't be true because that's not what I am. So I think we can all agree to that. But, we got some names coming in. And Audra, I'm chipping in on the discussion. In her experience, it's not an age thing. People just started to expect employers to be grateful they even showed up. Which made them feel like they were the boss. I would agree. And I think the fact is, another thing, I'm a millennial. I came up in the Great Recession. Jobs were scarce. It is a common stereotype that millennials are afraid to take time off work or to do anything bad at work. Generation Z did not come up in that time. Even including the pandemic, we had a blip there, but employment's great. There are plenty of jobs. Labor market's good. People are making more money. So, it's easier to thumb your nose at the boss because you have another job you can go to. Definitely wasn't my experience growing up. But
well, I've seen, as many of you here in the chat have, many of the students of IMHS and TFU, we've seen many cycles come and go.
Yeah.
And, people talk about, oh, my God, interest rates 5-7%. And I'm thinking, I remember a time when it was 18.
So, this is true.
Back in the 80s, that was crazy.
It is.
So,
and
anyway, let's start with some cards, shall we?
We are. And, all right, we're going to start pulling them here real quick. I just want to point this out because I think it's a good point Dr. Rick threw in. Last thing, and we're going to move on to cards. He pointed out the most important thing a manager needs to do is to provide employees an environment where it's okay to make a mistake. Make them learn from, you know, make them make mistakes, take accountability, correct the error, learn when that happens. I think it was well said. Wanted to point it out.
Yep.
All right. So I believe that Dr. Jeff is up for the card first. And
yes.
Let's see. Oop. Give me one sec. Uh-huh. Got it. All right. We have wild card number 4 for you, Jeff, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open for change.
Well, interesting, Jeff, because I just as Michael was saying which card he pulled, I pulled Temperance. Temperance, I always see the significance of water, and it's like going with the flow. Don't try to go upriver. It's like, go with the flow. So this unknowable, it's like you're on to something. It's just today you might not have that epiphany. And just knowing that if you roll with it, it'll come to you. And so it might be a time where you might feel a little bit confused or, you know, a little bit hard on yourself. It's something I'm not getting, or what am I supposed to be doing? Should I be doing this when I should be doing that? It's just roll with it wherever you're at the moment. And sometimes it can last a week or a month or even a few months. It's just, you know, roll with it right now, because I feel like you're on the verge of something kind of clicking. You know, it'll click and say, okay, now it's time. So that's all what right. I think. Jerry, I want to say again, I'm so happy to hear your surgery went well and that you're feeling so much better, and the optimism. That's awesome news. So let's pick cards for Jerry.
All right. Jerry, for you tonight, I have number 36. It's in the service to self and others suit, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Good card.
Oh, well, I got the 5 of diamonds and I said, what is that? And so I pulled another one, Jerry, in the ace of wands. So that's the ace of clubs. So when I paired that gratitude message with, you know, the 5 of diamonds, I'm going to go with leave it behind. Just continue to go forward. The ace of clubs is in that achievement. I do want you to never, you know, I would say don't go against medical advice necessarily, but you have to follow your gut of what you also know is true for you. So you might be filtering out what's true for you versus what you're being told. Be sensible. And again, that gratitude is, wow, you guys, thank you so much for what you've done for me. I'm so glad for science and medicine. I wouldn't be here now if it weren't for that. And yet now I want to incorporate some of my way. And the ace of clubs assures you, you know, that promise of achievement. So kind of combining, this is what I want to say to you, combine that Western medicine with your own way of thinking and be sensible about it, Jerry, because you're on a roll, you're obviously doing well, continue to do what you have been doing, but, you know, leaving some stuff behind. You know, a friend of mine who's also recently had breast cancer, she said, you know, people keep telling me, oh, you're battling cancer. She said, I'm not battling cancer, my doctors are. I'm along for the ride. And I thought, whoa, you know, that was like a in my brain. She's absolutely right. Thankfully, she's fine. But now, you know, it doesn't negate the process by any means. But she has, you know, quite an attitude. And, because some people haven't liked her surgeon. You know, she's very crass, abrupt, to the point. And people say, well, how are you getting along with the surgeon? She said, I think she's great. I don't need her to be my friend. I need her to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, to the point. And then, but that's somebody she knows she can partner with her own approach to things, because she has that kind of approach. So, go forth, Jerry. And I know I'm spending an extra little bit of time here, everybody, but it's really important when there's an extra kind of message in between the layers when someone is going through a time. And I want to make sure that Jerry gets that.
All right. Very good message. And again, very happy for you.
Kevin.
Right. Kevin, I have for you number 27, Gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Okay, I pulled this 10 of diamonds right away, Kevin, and I kind of want to... sometimes I think we all have to be reminded about balance, right? Because the ten of hearts, is about family. It's about your community. And so however busy you might be in work, however occupied you might be, it's also to balance that with the home life and relationships that are really important to you. And it can be a very tricky thing. So I'm just saying, if there's things that are distracting you away from family when family is needed, or you just want to be there. One of the things that I regret the most about the time of raising kids is I wasn't always emotionally available. So I was there physically, but my brains were always somewhere else. I say brains plural, like I have more than one. And it's that feeling of being present in the moment, not thinking about anything else except who you're with in that moment. And being able to, like, filter away all the other things that aren't important in that moment. So that's the reminder, I think, Kevin. It's not a criticism, judgment, anything like that. It's just that gentle reminder what Gaines has to tell us.
I like it. All right. And we have Audra, who asked for a card, but obviously you don't have time, so we're going to move right on to Dr. Edward. Oh, I can, of course. But, Audra, for you, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. Good card and proof that positive consciousness helps. I really needed to sneeze a moment ago, but I didn't because of my positive attitude.
Hey, Audra, I got the 9 of hearts for you. So that 9 of cups, that's abundance. That's, you know, when energy keeps transforming and regenerating, and that feeling of, you know what, my life might not be perfect, but it's good. And, what did Wendy say in the chat? Audra's not had this card, but number 13 on the 313. Interesting. We're going to, you know, in the middle of the year sometime, we're going to get Wendy on and we're going to track cards and see where we're at for repeats and familiarities. But for now, I want to say, Audra, I think your shifts is bringing you the rewards that you've been hoping for. And again, it may not all be monetary, but it's certainly emotional and a little bit more spiritual, having that sense of peace where you move forward in a positive way instead of a way based on fear. And that is a really cool thing.
It is.
Really is.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
You know, Edward, I pulled the page of spades and I said, well, what's that about? Because that can be a feeling of distress or some kind of stressor in communication. So I said, oh, I got to pull another card. So then it was the magician. And I had a little flash in my head, Edward. Sometimes when we're contemplating life, we're contemplating the people around us. They're not seeing what we see. You know, we're seeing this. It's kind of like, if I take it to a point of politics, you know, I believe every human being is entitled to food, shelter, and clothing. Other people don't feel that way. You know, it's first come, first serve. You don't work, you don't win, you belong on the streets. And if you're of one mind and you're dealing with people or interacting with people who aren't of that mindset, it can be irritating and frustrating at the very least, which is the way I think that page of spades comes in. But with the magician, it's knowing that there is a transformation, and most of all, what you have transformed within yourself, that's your spiritual evolution, and that's all that's really important. And you know, coexisting, getting along with others, we can't always grow at the same rate, and we have to be patient. But then, of course, people are patient with us because, like, they get shit that I don't. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But it's just that moment, Edward, where you say, you know, I just have to take a breath here and know that everything's okay. We disagree, and we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
All right.
Oh, he says story of his life. Thanks, Edward. Now, we have Wendy next, don't we?
We do. And Wendy, for you tonight, I have number 20, deliberate intent. Oops, just added. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Okay, so I have to say this. Wendy wrote in the chat earlier that the dog ate the pork chop.
Oh, no.
And ruined supper, and I had to say that deliberate intent. That was an accident, as I see it. I just had to bring in the humor there, Michael. Okay, deliberate intent, I have the Three of Clubs. And it's maybe now looking at where you're going and what you want to see for your future. There might be some changes you want to make in and around the home, in and around, you know, even the structure of the home kind of thing, adding a room, or you have enough critters, you might have to build a runner for them. Do you have chickens, Wendy? Why did chickens pop in my head?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no. It's like,
I think
adding
goats too. Pigs,
to,
maybe?
I don't know. She's got a little menagerie there.
Puts
but
me
that
to shame.
Intent of looking forward. The Three of Clubs likes peace, harmony, but it likes to look forward into the future and how to build that. But, and I'm not necessarily think it's so much of career, because it feels like it is what it is for the moment and moving on, but it's how to make the home kind of envelop you in that place of love and what's satisfying to you. So you're kind of looking forward now. What is the picture for tomorrow or next year? That's a very cool thing.
I love it. All right.
And I don't see any other names, but she says she does have chickens. Oh, for God's sake. Okay, and she says she is making a lot of changes in the house.
Well, just remember that dog is innocent. I will have that dog's paternity on the phone immediately.
That's
innocent doggo.
Well, you know, when you leave the pork chop out, there you turn your back, that's what happens.
I mean, who among us hasn't stolen food from somebody else when they weren't looking? Just me? Just me? All right, never mind.
No.
But it's been a really great discussion tonight. You know, we've gone by in a flash, but, you know, we're looking forward to the future discussions. Dr. Rick said that he'd be willing to come back on, so I know that's going to be a crowd pleaser for everybody, including myself. Can't wait to have that. So we'll connect with you on email next week or anytime later, whenever's convenient. You know, we haven't seen Tabitha in a little bit. She had reached out to me about coming on, and I had trying to catch up with her by email. So hopefully we'll bring that around. And yeah, awesome. Hopefully we can wrangle Dr. Mike. We'll get Wendy on here at the halfway mark in the year. So got some good stuff coming up.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we are trying to do, everyone, is at least once a month bring on a guest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you get tired of us, we can try to bring on more.
Wait. Nobody gets tired of me. I know that really bringing on guests is almost a detriment because people don't get to listen to as much of me. But
That's fun, Michael. But no, at least, you know, once a month as we go through, and if anyone would like to come on and, you know, you have a story to tell or something to share, a project or just even your own philosophy, you know, come on, you know, give us an email and we'll lay something out and, you know, have a good chat on the show. So it's, you know, this year, I don't know what's happening in the world this year, but I know that for us here in this community this year, it feels like there is this progress and optimism. And I know everybody's got their challenges, but it's a good place to be on Wednesday night.
It is at that. No argument for me. But it is that time of Wednesday night. And unfortunately, we're drawing to a close. It has been a wonderful discussion and chat. Thank you for everybody. I appreciate everybody's commentary. Dr. Rick, always happy to see you. And appreciate your comments as well and your contributions. And, you know, so we're going to have kind of a – we're going to figure out next week, and we're going to look forward to that. And, yeah, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Yeah. Don't let them push you around out there.
Ah, that's a classic.
Be yourself. Be yourself. Laugh it off. When things are a little hectic and crazy – push your pause button. Watch the show.
I like it.
Don't take it personally.
Find the humor in everything, because everything's a little absurd. Let's go ahead and laugh at it. That's what I try
to do. All you have to do is drive down the road and see it all happen.
Well, maybe in Canada, because you guys use the metric system, so, you know, it's whatever. But, you know, here in America, we don't have that, of course.
Of course.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Thank you for everybody in chat. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.